Hallelujah. So would you with me welcome Gary and Sue? I just want them both to come up for at least a minute. Hallelujah. You'd have to be here Wednesday night and early service this morning to understand all this.
Amen. This is going to be a very interesting service. Sue is my witness that what's typed is the title here. Before I typed this before we left the house this morning. So before we had any idea what Tim was going to say. And if you weren't at that meeting, thank God for tapes is all I can tell you. Thank God for tapes. And the title on this page is Obedience Is, Following Instructions. Now, if you were at the 8:30 service, I'm sitting there stunned. I'm going, Lord, are you going to leave anything left for me to say? And of course, He is. But isn't that amazing? You get to thinking you know a little bit. You get to thinking, you know, and all of a sudden He just shows you, let me show you who's in charge. You don't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. One of the phrases that Tim said this morning, that'll be with me for all eternity. See, when God talks to you, He talks to you from the position outside of time. Some of the things He'd say to me, LaRue and I used to talk about this in the early days. It's, you know, LaRue says it this way, God has never yet said anything to me that I could afford. I would hear Dave say it like this. He'd say, when God says these things, you reckon He has a clue what my checkbook says? Yes and no. See, because what you're talking about is facts, but God talks to you from the position of truth. And we have a tape called Truth Changes Facts. It's your job to take His word and bring down the enemies. You're dismissed. Was that good or what? I mean, hallelujah. All right, go ahead. Let's go to our launching pad. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. I don't know how long we're going to be here. It's not. I've already understand I'm not in charge. So we'll be here as long as the Lord says be here. I found that the Lord is not like our public schools. He doesn't pass you on to the next grade until you've passed the previous one. That's why a lot of people stay in kindergarten until they die. Man may put them on TV, but that doesn't mean God did. You're going to stay right where you are till you obey Him. See, that's part of this season. You have to have a foundation. You have to have a certain impartation of the attribute and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where you're weak, He makes you strong. So that when you do hear a word from the Lord, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you will do what your Father has said to do. So you have to have the foundation, because the foundation, if you'll ever get on it and begin doing that message, then no matter what your individual calling, see, every structure, just like, again, it just picks right up with what Tim was saying this morning. My calling is not the same as Dave's. My calling is not the same as Tim's exactly. Each of us, our calling is like a different structure. My house doesn't look like Marinelle's house. My calling is not exactly the same. But we're on exactly the same foundation. See, that's the thing. The foundation feeds all the roots of the tree. Can we say it that way? It'll feed. See, we're all like trees planted by the river of water. That river flows from the throne of God. We're all supposed to be getting our nourishment from the same source. He has a name. It's called the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This make he of the Spirit, which was not yet given, for the Lord had not yet been glorified. I haven't even... We'll get to the notes here in a minute. He's trying to do something. Say this with me. I'm going to be right where I am until I obey Him. See, obedience is following instructions, and nothing else is. Excuses are not obedience. And the Lord, in some of the prophecies that's come, I've been going over them and over them, and I hope you have too. One of them we read from 1996, 10 years ago. And when I read that one, I mean, from the groans and the ow and the ooches and the ohs I heard all through the congregation, that was that word still alive or not? And one of the things he said in that word was, okay, I say you can and you say you can't. And I say you can and you say you can't. And then finally the Lord agrees with you. That's rare, by the way. He says, well, and you can't. The only reason you can't is because you've chosen not to do those things that would make you to where you could. And then in the next sentence or two, he talks about that comes by fellowship with me in no other way. Well, that's the foundation. That's the whole, what we call the message. Not just tongues, not just fasting, all of it. The message. You know what it is. If you don't know what it is, there's a book. Like Jason would say, have you read this book? You know, have you read this book? Walk of the Spirit, the Walk of Power. I read it every 6 months on purpose. And I helped edit it. But I think there's that much in it. And I do not want to forget. I do not want to let things slip. And it's easy to do. Anyway. Following instructions. 1 Timothy. Boy, if you haven't found 1 Timothy 1:18 by now. Said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. By them what? By those prophecies. The prophecies. What has the Lord said to you? Now last week, just to get your mind going down this path again, I brought you some examples from mine and Sue's own life. See, because there's all, again, starting from the ultimate word of prophecy is the Bible you're holding in your lap. I mean, because Americans have 15 translations on our shelves, we tend to forget what kind of a miracle this is. The thoughts on these pages did not originate on this planet. These are the thoughts of an almighty, all-powerful, invisible, eternal God who lives without time, and He's trying to reveal Himself, believe it or not, to fallen, finite creatures. Now He's trying, if we can hear the message and understand it, we can become born again. Hallelujah. But He had to get it down to where unsaved people could at least receive enough of it to get born again. What a miracle this is. That's why Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Boy, you got that right. And every prophecy you get, it better agree with that one. Or it's not from God. The Word and the Spirit agree. There's no point in going there. Okay. That was me, not him. Okay, here we go. Now. Yes. So last week, that's it. Thank you. All right, so the most sure word of prophecy is the Bible itself. Secondly, let's talk about the prophecies that come to this body. Or it could be, if you're, there's the word of the Lord. He has a mind for the prayer center. He has a plan. So when He speaks words to the body, that includes you. You have a part to play. There is no part of my body, my physical body, that does not have a part to play in my life. My little toe, I need my little toe. Could I do without it? People have. But that doesn't mean I don't want it. Okay? Don't you be messing with my little toe. God gave me a little toe, and it has a use and a purpose. I don't care who you are in here. You got a use and a purpose. So when God speaks something to the body, is only Dave responsible for that? Is only Tim responsible for that? How about Gary? It must be Sue. It's only Sue. She says. No, I'm going to come back around to this one in a minute. That's mainly what we're going to talk about today is words to the body. And give you some examples about obedience. But now then there's also your individual words in that body. Sometimes he'll talk to you through Dave. He'll give a word of prophecy through me or give a word of prophecy. It could come. Tim mentioned again this morning, boy, to get that tape. They don't give me a commission on selling the tapes. You do understand that. Why do I want you to get that tape? You need what's on there. If you were here, you need what's on there. You need to hear that again. They're so instructional, you know. But people actually, who did that word come through? It didn't come through Dave? I'm throwing that one away. Mm-hmm. Sue and I are contending. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's a member of this church. Somebody that most of you would probably lowly esteem compared to Dave. Can I just say it that way? But compared to Dave, you'd consider this person maybe many rungs down the ladder. We're contending for two words from that person. Why? They're from God. It doesn't matter who gave the word. What matters is who spoke it. Who is it from? Is it God? I don't care if it's from a little child on a tricycle. If it's the word of the Lord, I'm not throwing that away. I am going to contend and do a good warfare. By that word, I will possess the promise. Amen? So last week, we talked about two that has come to Sue and I in the past prophecies. One of them, just refresh your memory, or if you weren't here, you can get that tape. By the way, it's at the website now. But one of them was a prophecy, again, and I purposely chose two of them that didn't come through Dave. I could have picked ones that did. But both of these two words, these particular ones, came through somebody else. Two different people. One of them came in the year 2000. And this person said, I see your teachings put into writings, and I see them. He says, I see Chinese people. I see the Far East. Your teachings are going to have an impact. I see a book in some other language. It's an Asian something. The prophecy went something like that. That was in the year 2000. The year 2005. The first and to this date only book that we have in print. Guess what language it's in? Chinese. Do you think that's just probably pure coincidence, don't you think? Came through somebody, I don't know whether you would receive a word from that person or not. You might. Apparently those that had called Tim, if they found out it didn't come through Dave, they'd wad that up and throw it away. Was there obedience along the way? Oh yeah. I had to pray, I had to get the revelations, we had to write them out, we had to post them at the website, we had to obey him and do it all for free. We had to encourage duplication. There was a lot of steps along the way that caused that to come to pass. But God, I brought it where you could see it the day I taught on it, remember? I brought it where you could see it. God brought it to pass. Our obedience had a part to play in that. All right, then I told you of another one. This is a different person, gave us a word in 1997. At the time, we didn't even have a website. At that time, we'd never been anywhere to minister on the road. We'd never even been to Houston one time. It was early in 1997. We received this word. And I remind you again, this person said, I see a chalkboard. I see dust flying everywhere. I see erasers. And then you're writing something else. And this person doesn't know us at all. I mean, not at all. Says, oh, I get it now. I don't know if you're called to be a teacher, but you're going to be going out. You better get some stuff ready. I see a big hand that's about to push you out. You're going to be teaching and writing and racing and writing some more stuff. My God, that was our life for the next 5 years or so. I mean, later that same year in the fall, we did leave on our first ministry trip. Since then, we have been all over this nation. We have preached the gospel in Europe. We have preached the gospel in Africa. We have preached the gospel in South Korea 3 times. Was that a true word? Yes, it was. I'm glad I didn't crumple it up and throw it away. Amen. So now that was 2 examples to Sue and I. We had a lot of steps of obedience in there. For example, in our private time, we would receive instructions like this. Don't call anybody. Don't call any churches and ask if you can come and do meetings. But Lord, if we don't do that, see natural thinking? Lord, if we don't do that, how will anyone even know? But the instructions didn't change. And I could have disobeyed it. And we could have a ministry now. It just wouldn't be his ministry. It'd be something Gary built. And not something the Lord built. The truth of the matter is, he began speaking to different people's, different pastors' hearts to have us start coming. And so we did. Then, you got to watch it. Because we started getting so many invitations. We could be gone 52 weeks of the year, every year. We could always be gone. So you pray and the Lord says, okay, I don't want you to go anywhere for a while. Just tell them no. Now that's a way to build a ministry, isn't it? I don't want to spend too much on these things, but there's a lot of little steps in there. I'm trying to get you to understand. It is by these prophecies that you war a good warfare. Again, the one most of you are most recently aware is this last year, the major thing he had us do was get all of our teachings digitized, get them all at the internet. He says, I want them free like water. I want them out there where anybody that has a computer, if they want a drink of revelation knowledge, all they got to do is sit down at that computer and press click. And they can begin drinking the revelation anywhere in the world that they have access to the internet and speak English. Hallelujah. We got her done. Still tweaking it a little bit. By the way, those of you that have asked me, because some of those older files, I used to be more long-winded than I am now. Thank God I can say more in less time. Amen. But a lot of those older ones especially, they're longer, they're too long for a CD. Just yesterday, we finally finished. They're all the longest. If you want to put them on CD now, they're split for you. There's another column called CD size. You can download them and burn them on your own CDs. See, I don't know how. We have instructions on how to do that at the Helps page. We're going to take all your excuses away. You're not going to be in heaven saying, Gary wouldn't share his knowledge with me. No. No. It's a free like water. By the way, you can become your own little missionary if you want to be. Duplication is encouraged. Hallelujah. If that CD blessed you, make a couple for some friends that need to hear it. Say, well, I don't have a label maker. Buy a magic marker. I don't care how pretty it is. What I care about, will the truth change their life? I don't care if it's pretty. I don't even care if they know my name, if you want the truth. This is not about offerings. Doesn't matter. Give it, scare them. Give it to them blank. Say, listen if you dare. It'll mess with them. Anyway. Well, so that's some individual words. You see how this works personally? How Sue and I are just one little part. Maybe we're the kneecap of the body. I don't know. We're something in this body, see? So we're doing our best to hear our instructions and obey Him personally. Now, I want to back up one level. Let's talk about, for a moment, instructions that come to the prayer center. And again, when I say this, that's not just limited to the people who physically come to the prayer center. I know that many of you that are hearing my voice right now, you may live in another state, you may live in another country, but you are just as much a part of this prayer center as anybody that's physically here. And you, Every word that comes to the prayer center is your word as much as it is ours. Let's talk about contending for those. Let's talk about doing a good warfare over those kind of prophecies. Now, first of all, let me share with you again something that that the Lord said to me. This is in the face-to-face communications. Now, He said it to me. Since then, I have found out, I think it applies to most of you as well. Because maybe I'm the only one, but I was having a little trouble hearing and obeying the Lord. Aren't you glad I'm not asking for a show of hands right now? But I was, and He said to me this. He says, if you want to look it up, again, this is at the website too. It's from F98. It was in 1998, September 1st. I call this one the highest order of reality. And He said this. He says, you're having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you are expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when His instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. You are still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that they will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel. You will receive these instructions. Does that sound like... Judge it. What do you think? Okay or not okay? Think that might be God? I think it is. If you don't, that's okay. That's your prerogative. I think it is God. I really do. Now, still, even after hearing that, it takes a while. It takes some walking. It takes some stumbling. It takes some mistakes to learn what He means by that. What do you mean your instructions come in such a way that they allow you to move? Not necessarily me to move. Well, you ever look at the ministry? I know you have. When you look at the ministry of Jesus, for example, you don't find many formulas in His ministry. I mean, He healed a lot of blind people. There's only one of them that I remember that He made clay. Reached down, spit on the ground, made clay, put it on the guy's eyes. Now see, today we would make a formula. You want to heal the blind? Here's what you must do. It has to be the right kind of clay. You got to import clay, first off, from the Holy Land. And you got to, in order for your spit to have the right kind of anointing on it, it's going to have to, you got to be drinking water from the River Jordan. Of course, there's going to be a lot of marketing behind all that. Well, we would tend to make formulas. You want to heal the sick? This is how you do it, you know. But see, we only find Jesus doing that one time, don't we? You reckon He just did that for a show? You reckon He dreamed that up as some kind of a reason? Y'all ever really meditate on those things? I wish I had an hour to teach you. He might let me share it with you. He might not. Gary, do you know why? Oh, yeah, I know why. And I know why He did it for that guy. He didn't have to do it for others. Then, if I'm not mistaken, if this isn't the same parable, then He told the guy to go wash. Did He not? All right, now. You want me to share it with him or not? I'll go ahead and tell you the first part. That particular guy, how did God make man in the first place? Did He take clay out of the dust of the ground? Did He not make man? What's the Lord teaching him? I'm the Lord. I'm the one that breathed life into Adam the first time. If I made Adam the first time, I can make new eyeballs this time. You need new eyeballs? You come to the right place. Now go wash this off in the pool of Siloam. What if the guy hadn't have washed? What do you think? Think he would have got the miracle anyway? No. I'm only bringing that up as one example. Listen, you don't find Jesus ever doing that, as far as I can tell, any other time with anybody else. Sometimes he would say, according to your faith be it unto you. And the two men, they received their sight. There was no clay, no washing. Now, let's back up one degree on that. When eyeballs go from not seeing to seeing, would you say that's probably the Holy Spirit involved in that? See, God the Father conceives and plans everything. The Lord Jesus, He speaks everything. That's why He's called the Word. But the Holy Spirit, I like to call Him the molecule changer. He's the one that was hovering over the face of the deep when the earth was void and dark and without form. God the Father wanted light. Okay, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But you know what? Once light came, it's because that Holy Spirit, He sprung into action. All right? Now, yes, sir. Let's go back to the blind man. Ultimately, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that does something with that guy's eyeballs. Why doesn't he just do it anyway? Why is he with Jesus all the time? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit just go ahead? I mean, isn't the Holy Spirit as much God as Jesus? Isn't the Holy Spirit as much God as God the Father? Is the Holy Spirit all-knowing like God the Father is all-knowing? Then, doesn't the Holy Spirit then know that God the Father wants to open this man's blind eyes? Does he have the power to do it? What's he waiting on? Something. He doesn't seem to do anything until Jesus does something. See, we haven't yet understood this. Why do we use that phrase so much? It doesn't mean anything. Jesus is Lord. He is absolutely God's agent of authority. The kingdom has been turned over to the Son. That's why He says all authority. In the King James, it's power, but all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go. Why isn't the Holy Spirit? And I'll take you all the way back to the beginnings now. All the way back to the beginnings. There's the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the deep. The earth is void and without form. It's dark. There He is, just throbbing, pulsating with power. Nothing is impossible to this Holy Spirit who is God. I mean, He is all-knowing and all-powerful. And here's God the Father in heaven. God wants light. And the Holy Spirit knows that because He's just as all-knowing as God the Father is all-knowing. He knows the Father wants light. He's got the power to produce light. He's waiting on something. He has to hear, and it was the second member, just so you'll know, it was the second member of the Godhead. He is the Word. And He stood up and said, "Light be!" And that's all the Holy Spirit was waiting for. Jesus is Lord. He is the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. And they co-labor together like that. That's why on the earth, Jesus, the Holy Spirit's there. He knows that the Lord wants to make new eyeballs for this guy. He knows He wants to restore sight. He's able to do it. And He's right there hovering just like He was brooding over the earth. He is waiting on something. He's waiting on that spoken word. When the Holy Spirit was teaching me this out of Genesis about how He knew that the Father wanted light, but He couldn't do anything about it till He heard the spoken word. Then He said to me, asked me a question that changed my life forever. He said, if I couldn't make an exception for God the Father, if I couldn't do it for Him without first hearing the spoken word, what do you think the odds are that I can make an exception in your case? Now, the reason I'm setting you up like this, and I am, because we don't really understand how the kingdom operates. We keep expecting to get instructions that will cause us to move, when really the real instructions first come in a way that lets the Holy Spirit move, like that. Jesus did not physically open the man's eyes. The Holy Spirit did that. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus are working together. Can you see that? All right. Let me read you an instruction that came to the body. This was in May 30th, 2004. It came through Pastor Dave. That means you don't have to throw this one away. This is a quote, real one, okay? Well, I wanted one that was from Dave, so you know, for you folks. And this was before I heard the 8:30 service. This was already printed before I came this morning. Anyway, here's the word. This was May 30th, 2004. And the Lord says, through Dave, so take my word and speak against the strongholds of lack. Declare an abundance. Now notice. Declare an abundance and you will release me. Did you hear that? Declare an abundance and you will release me. I will be able to come and pour out on your circumstances and on you. So speak the victory and pull the strongholds down and rejoice. Take extra time to spend worshiping me and praising me because I am close. An outpouring is close. But now notice this, that outpouring, it will be preceded by me pouring out on many of you to prepare the way to get things ready to take every media. Another one, he says, I'm about to merge wealth with media. Here he's prophesying it even before then. So that I'll be able to take every media and to pull every stronghold down that I may establish my foundation. So rejoice and be glad. For you that have ears to hear, you are going into the land of plenty. And I need you as a testimony of what is over there. Now, following instructions. Obedience is following instructions. Here recently, Sue and I were driving home from one of the services. And we hadn't gone back and looked at this particular prophecy for a long time. You know why not? Because about a year ago, it wasn't instant obedience. This came in May of 2004. And Sue and I started this probably in the spring of 2005. At that time, we were going back through those prophecies. And we went, boy, we're not doing this. We are not spending time on purpose speaking against the strongholds of lack and declaring an abundance. So, the only thing to do, you know what repent is? Stop going the way you're going, turn around, and go the other way. So together, we made up a confession thing. Takes us about 40 minutes to do it. But we go through this together. I wish I could say every day. We did do it every day in the beginning, at least Monday through Friday. And then, of course, we can't when we're traveling. We can't when I'm in Korea. You know, it's not together, I mean. But I mean, we got real serious about it. And Gary, you saw immediate change. All of your finances changed and you had this great abundance and wealth. No, I think things got a little worse, actually. Resistance came. Again, if you 8:30, Satan comes about 6 months after you obey God, right? Satan comes immediately to steal the word from you. No, it went on and went on We weren't seeing any change. If anything, it kind of got, I won't say worse, but it didn't really get any better either. How do you describe your situation during that year? Well, let's see. If you're going to go by what you see, every night when you go to bed, you go, okay, we didn't die today. Financially, we didn't die today, but just the way it looks, surely we will die tomorrow. I mean, that's just the way it looks. But see, if you let that dictate what you do for God, you're bowing down to that God of mammon. The Lord gave me this vision one time. So what does that mean, really? You know, I know, like Dave said during the offering, there's really two ways to serve mammon. One is spending your whole life running after money. But then that second one is really more often where we fall. It's like, well, Lord, I know you told me to do this, but we just never had the money. So the Lord gave me a vision one time of what that means. Is you spend time in prayer, and if you'll picture me here by tape, just I'm turned one direction, like I'm seeking and praising and worshiping God and asking for His instruction and direction. So then He tells me an instruction. I'll just pick Dave's. Go win Japan. Hallelujah. I know what to do now. And as soon as you come out of prayer, you turn around to your other god named Mammon. And you say, can I do what he said? No? Okay. And you bow before him. Sorry. When I get to heaven, I'll have an excuse. Why is it so quiet in here? We have obeyed his instruction to the point, and I'm not saying this was God's best, I'm just saying it's just the way it is. We have obeyed God financially to the point where it looked like certain suicide to keep going the way we're going, financially I'm talking. But because he would not change the instruction, I felt like that man in 2 Corinthians says we despaired even of life. We didn't know what to do. So we kind of radioed headquarters. If we stay here and keep doing this, it looks like we're going to die. What do you want us to do? I want you to stay. Why? That we learn not to trust in ourselves, but in the living God who raises the dead, who quickens the dead. I'm going to go this way. If it's suicide, if it's failure, if it's the end, He'll have to raise me back up. But unless He says, unless He changes the instructions, this is the way we're going to go. Tim doesn't know anything about this at all. And he's grinning at me because I know. And we don't even talk and I still know. Well, Sue and I began contending for it. About a year. Most days, not every day, most days. Take us about 40 minutes to run through this. Just speaking, we just did it ourselves, come up with some things, incorporated some prophecy that he'd said to us. Incorporating things, you know, things like, just a little short. Father, we thank you that the days of abundance are here. Father, we thank you that we serve you now with abundance. And there is no lack. We, on and on, these things, we would just say them every day, just things that he has spoken to us, speaking against lack. So you want to add some? Go for it.
One important thing, and then Gary told you all about
this. They can't see how pretty you are. Stand up.
One important thing that we incorporated in our confessions was when God spoke to Gary and told him, you remember the words that I spoke to you. Gary said, well, yes, Lord. And he asked him, were you planning on doing anything about that? Gary said, no. He said, you're not believing me like Abraham believed me. Something to that effect. Yeah. Anyway, so we incorporated, Father, we believe you like Abraham believed you. So having no hope in the natural whatsoever, all hope being gone, we believe in the hope that's provided by your promise given to us. And different scriptures and different prophecies that he had given us over the years, where he spoke specifically concerning what he wanted to do. We took all of those, and from different people, and it just flows very well now. So, thanks.
Hallelujah. Just a minute here, and we get resituated.
Hallelujah. Now, it's important that you know that we kept doing it, even when it looked like it's not working. We were still doing it this year. Still doing it. Does that sound okay? And another word came through Dave. January 8th. I'm trying to get my sequence right. I've never taught this before, so I'll make sure I'm following the mind of the Lord so you get this. Yes, sir. Before I can give you this word, I got to tell you about the conversation. Sue and I were on the way home one day before this word came. And we were just talking about things. And she says, I wonder how many people at the prayer center are still, or if they ever, began speaking against the strongholds of lack and declaring an abundance. See, I wonder how many of them, because we didn't talk with them, how many of them are doing it? How many of them ever started in the first place? And how many of them are still doing it? Rudy's raising his hand. We got a few. Got a few around here. Praise God. Praise God. Got a few. Not very many. But then this word came. January 8th. Through Dave. You don't have to throw this one away. It's a good one. Says, we're coming to a real important time at the prayer center. Very important. And this part I could even prophesy. I saw a bunch of devils, the kind that hold things back and yammer a lot and make a lot of noise and always keeping something going. And these particular kind of devils, they seem to have the power to lock the inflow up or to release the flow when people that were preaching wrong or heading in a wrong direction were believing God for finances for this or that. These devils seem to somehow be interwoven with the blessings. And I saw a class of spirit like that. But what is so good about it? I saw the darkness they were trying to employ just absolutely be vanquished by light. Just dissipated. You know, when light comes into a room, how quickly does dark leave? Whew. The very next day, the finances at our ministry took a turn up. That next week was one of the best financial weeks we've had, and we didn't do anything different in the natural. Then the next week was better than that week. We're actually starting to catch up on some things. Sue, we're getting ready to go to Houston for a conference. Thank God my wife has been able to go and get some clothes, glory to God, to wear on the trip. Thank God. I mean, there's been enough. Hallelujah. And I'm bragging on God. What I'm saying is, we didn't do anything to make it happen. I sent Noah. In fact, what we're doing seems like it'll make your finances worse. We're making everything so free. You know, people expect stuff on the internet to just be free. And we're making everything free on the internet. And a year ago, I mean, even our, you know, all three of our daughters work at the ministry, you know, and they get part of their income. You know, they all have husbands at work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But they also get, you know, an income from the ministry. And they can see the handwriting on the wall about a year ago when we started headed this direction. They're going, you know, people just expect stuff on the internet to be free. Daddy, are we going to have a job here next year? And I'm going, I'm trying to, you know, act strong. I'm going, like a great man of faith that I am, probably not in the same form that you have it now. And on the inside, I'm going, I don't have a clue. I don't know what any of us are going to be doing a year from now. But I do know what the Lord said to me back in the beginning when I saw his mind and what he intended to do. Now, I said, Lord, what about this? I mean, you know, if we go this path like you're saying, I mean, just to be honest, we're not quite, we don't have both nostrils above water the way it is, Lord. And you're telling us to go this direction, and what about that? And the only answer I heard was, and the responsibility became, for the responsibility for the finances, that became yours. When? When did that happen? Sorry, Lord. Yes. Amen. Full speed ahead. Obedience is following instructions. Well, now let's look at this. I want to look at the instructions. See, we read these prophecies. In my mind, I have never digested a prophecy until I get the instructions out of it. Nearly always, there's instructions. It means, let's say, this is deep, calleth unto deep. You're going to be so glad you came. Instructions means something to do. There's something he wants you to do. And the really important ones, those are the ones we miss. Because they don't seem like they would make any difference to us. Those are the most important ones because the Holy Spirit, he has to, unless he is released to do what you can't do, your whole life you're going to be limited to what you can do. We keep waiting. When are you going to tell me something to do? You know? When are you going to give me that big stock trade? When are you going to give me that big deal that's going to close $15 million? When are you going to tell me, you know, what book to write? When are you going to tell me what this, that, you know? And he says, when am I going to get those kind of instructions? He said, well, I'm giving you instructions. No, you didn't. You didn't tell me no stocks to trade. You didn't tell me no books to write. You didn't tell me no businesses to start. He said, no, I told you to speak against the strongholds of lack. And I told you to declare. That means with your mouth. You cannot declare with your mind. He said, speak it. The Holy Ghost already knew God wanted light in his mind. He knew that. It's not the thought word that releases the authority. It is the spoken word that releases the authority. Somebody asks every now and then, is it okay if I just, can I just pray in tongues in my mind? Will that work? Well, let's see now. 1 Corinthians 14:1-2. He that thinks in an unknown tongue. I can think them too. It's not prayer till you say it. You can pray under your breath. You can pray silently. I pray in lines at Walmart all the time. Nobody even knows it hardly. They see my lips trembling or moving a little bit. They probably think I'm senile now at my age. What do I care? I could care less. Hallelujah. He gave us instructions. I don't want to leave this too early. He gave us instructions. He said, I want you to notice how often the word speak is in this word from Dave in May of 2004. Take my word. That means get scripture. Stuff for you to do. I want to go write a book. I want to go trade stocks. I want to build an empire. All that comes after you obey this word. See, this is the word to the body. Everybody in the room, everybody in the audience, everybody who's a part of this vision, I hate to say it this way, but if you were here and heard it and you didn't do it, you're not going to go on to the next grade until you pass this grade. He doesn't promote based on time. He promotes based on obedience and transformation. Learn to meditate these prophecies. Do your warfare. Meditate them until you at least can glean out the instructions. I mean, let's look at the instructions now. And I have to, it takes a while. I have to go over and say, oh yeah, take my word, he said. Take my word. He wants me to get some verses. Take my word. And then he wants me to say something. Does speak mean anything other to you than saying? Can you speak with your mind? Can you speak with your elbow? Most people speak with their britches. What I mean by that is they think coming to church will get them by. Coming to church is where you get filled up so you can go do what the Lord's called you to do. Okay, so get some verses. Speak against the strongholds of lack. You can't do that without opening your mouth. Declare an abundance. Y'all remember when we had little Cole Matthew? That was during that time we're training him. You remember that? Man, and we'd go home and he has a little microphone. He likes his little microphone. We're teaching him from a little fella. He'd go, abundance! He'd do it to his little old body just tremble. He'd just, abundance of papa! Abundance of papa! We got movies of it. Hey, with Sue around, there will be pictures. I'm telling you. Sue's going, you want to see them? She'll show you for days. I mean, we got movies. Oh my God. We're training him. Train up a child in the way he should go. That boy is going to know that his daddy's not broke. I'm not talking about his earthly one either. His heavenly father is wealthy. And we are not going to bow down to the God of mammon anymore, church. But we've got to release him in the spirit. So when he gives a word like this, it's for all of us. We all begin to do that. We all begin to speak. It doesn't mean we have to gather together. Don't be waiting on Dave. Don't be waiting on Tim. You do it your own self. Get a copy of this. Figure out what the instructions are. Begin to do it. Then as you pray, you get your individual part. You start getting your individual instructions. He starts giving you what your part is in this. And then we can all the joints supply everything that's needed for the body. But it begins with the general instruction. Let's look at it again. Am I preaching good yet? I saw a white hanky back there somewhere. There you go. I got a white hanky. Okay. I see that. Okay. Take my word. Speak against the strongholds of lack. Declare an abundance. And you will release me. Now, y'all believe Dave hears God? Come on. He's sitting right there. Come on now. Look at that. I do. I'll tell you right now, if I didn't, I wouldn't be going to this church. I'm not intending to follow no false prophet. I'm telling you right now. So this next sentence is either from God or it's not. You judge it. Right after he says, declare in abundance and you will release me. Now get this part. I will be able to come and pour out on your circumstances. Now, if words mean anything, then he's saying, if you don't speak these things, you're not going to release me to come. And I won't be able to come and pour out on your circumstances. The church is going to grow out of playing games. Jesus understood that he had to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. If the Father is saying, say this, then Jesus would say that. Then the Holy Spirit could do that. If the Father says, spit on the ground, make clay, put it on the guy's eyes, then Jesus spit on the ground, made clay, and put it on the guy's eyes. Through that whole process, that's what releases the Holy Spirit to do the things that he really wants to do. Yes, sir. I think he says, okay, they got it that time. Y'all got it that time? All right. Now, I'm glad Tim's here. For those of you that were not here Wednesday night, your church, your old church died, your new church began. I don't know what else to tell you. God, you know, the tape is available. Thank God. It won't take the place of you being here. You better quit missing services if you can help it. Get mad at me if you want to. I don't care. I've already beat cancer. What am I afraid of you? What? You better stop it. You're not going to like the consequences. The faster are going to go faster. The slower are going to go slower. You're going to be in one or the other. Attendance is part of that equation. Obedience is following instructions. Doing what the Lord says. See, things that we've said, we're not really saying anything different than we've always said. Whatever He says to you, do it. Boy, that's part of the foundation, isn't it? But see, now He's talking about doing the doing. It won't do for you to get together around coffee and say, well, we need to do that. No, you just need to go do it. Go do it. Whatever He says to you. Now, Wednesday night was a lot of prophecy come. A lot of prophecy. I was hoping I would get a copy of it before the service. And finally, late last night, I got a copy of it. Tim read a portion this morning. I've got that same portion highlighted. I'm going to read it here to you. But I'm going to show you how this works. Because Tim and I, he talks about me and Tim in this prophecy. And all of us, how many of you that's been around here a while believe God is taking Dave into a room that he's never been in before? We all know that. That's not a secret, is it? I mean, you know, he's seen the lock. He's seen the you know, nobody's ever got past this deal here. Or it's been a long time. And we all know that there's a it's got to do with the revival. It's this next place. It's this next room. Dave's got to get in there. And he's striving with all he knows how to get in there. We all know that. That's not news, is it? All right. Now, Wednesday night, in the course of this, he says, Tim and Gary, I want you two to come up here, would you? Let me see. Why don't you stand on the green line facing me and stand shoulder to shoulder? The way my knees feel, you better watch me. And I believe it was Mark, came up. One of them came up to stand behind him. Now listen to this carefully. I've been wrestling a little, you know, trying to find my place. But today, and he's talking about that day, Wednesday. But today, I found this part of it. And both of you stepped into yours. And so I need both of you to pray for me now. This next step, let's put it this way. Now get this part. The devil is betting against me. Where Dave's trying to go? The devil is betting against me. But there is agreement and strength for these guys. Have both stepped in right where they are supposed to be walking. And I'm stepping in now. How many knows how much power there is in this kind of agreement? Well, Tim, neither one of us have had time to digest this very much. I've been chewing on it a little. Tim's been chewing on it. So Dave's trying to step into a place. And the Holy Spirit that Tim and I have stepped into our place. So in a sense, that's the way Tim said it this morning, in a way, it sounds like Tim and I are like ahead of Dave. Well, sure enough, right after the service, somebody asked me, is Tim saying that you two are ahead of Dave spiritually? I said, no. Let me show you how the Holy Spirit taught it to me. Just last night, I only got this late last night. And I'm going, God, what does this mean? Y'all ever seen an old-fashioned slingshot? The kind where you go to a tree and you get a stick that's in a Y? Okay, and you got these two branches coming up here, and you put a rubber band or a old inner tube or something, you know, you make that stretchy part. And you hook that to the two prongs. Then you pull it back and you sling it. Listen, during this season, Tim and Gary, we're the anchors. We're standing in to teach, stepping into our office right now. God has Dave's. He's drawing him way back. Fixing to sling him into that next room. Ready or not, revival is coming. Ready or not. Now all this prophecy is saying, for Tim and I, at present, we are able to take our place. One on each side. We are standing in to do our part, allowing Dave to have the time he needs with the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost to prepare him and sling him over into revival. Hallelujah. I got a feeling right after that, Tim and I are going to be running again to stay up. Hallelujah. That's all that means. But you got to meditate it long enough to get what he's saying. See? You got to get what he's saying. What? Now, obedience is following instruction. Now, Gary, could you disobey this? Oh, yeah, I can impact revival. I can side with the devil. The devil is betting against Dave. I could help the devil. False humility. Oh, I'm just so unworthy. I just can't be the one to take and teach these services, this many of them, you know. You know, I'm just too humble. Oh, baloney. If the Lord says He wants me to teach, I'm going to teach. If the Lord tells Tim He's going to teach, He's going to teach. Well, people won't like it. People won't come. Don't come. We're not talking about you. We're talking about revival. Yeah. And this is what God wants right now, so Dave can have the time he needs to get in that next place. So be it. Yeah. I'll cancel all trips. I'll cancel all ministry. I'll be here until the Lord gives me some other assignment. That's just the way it is. Am I preaching good, Tim? If you pray... See, I'm not... The Holy Ghost is smarter than you are dumb. I didn't understand what that meant either. I said, what in the world are you talking about, God? I don't understand. And immediately he gave me that vision of the boomerang. I mean, the boomerang. Slingshot. Sorry. Picture of the slingshot. And immediately, one picture cleared up everything. There was Tim, there was me, there's Dave. I went, okay, that makes perfect sense. I understand it. Makes sense to you now, doesn't it? Now, in the same way that Tim and I now, we have to obey. Whether, you know, I don't know if y'all know this. I'm really closing here. Okay, I'm not going to talk about Tim. I'm going to talk about me. Get over here away from Tim. I won't say this about Tim because it's probably not so. But I got to tell you guys, I have good days and I have bad days. There's days when I'm scheduled to teach when I don't care if all of you go to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? Obedience has got nothing to do with your feelings. Getting the white flag again. Obedience has to do with who is Lord in your life. You still calling the shots, or is He calling the shots? You still following you, or are you going to start following Him? Obedience is following instructions. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we are coming into a co-laboring with God on a different level than we have in the past. Not because He's changing, but because there's some maturity enough where we're going to, yes, Lord, whatever You say, that's what I do. And receiving these instructions and acting on them is not really an option for the go faster bunch. You okay? You're either going to do what he says, or you're going to be watching from the grandstands.